been preaching through the book of John, and I have enjoyed getting to study and learn, but it has been about 2 weeks. Of course, last Sunday I preached from the book of Ruth, and thank the Lord that he allowed me to do that. And then Brother Tom Hayes preached for us last Sunday night, and that was a blessing. And then all this week, I've just had this scripture on my mind that I'm about to read to you. I know I preached 2 weeks ago on verse number 12, or out of verse number 12, and we didn't get out of that. But Lord willing, we'll go all the way down through verse number 19. So John chapter 8, and begin in verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Heavenly Father, I need you this morning. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your words. Lord, I pray that as I attempt to expound your word, that it would help your people. I pray, Lord, if there be someone that does not know you, that in some way they would see you as Lord and Savior for the first time. They would realize their need of salvation, and they would put their faith and their trust in you and in you alone, Lord, to the saving of their soul. I pray, God, that as I preach, that your word would go out and you would be magnified. I would be abased, but you would be exalted. Lord, have your will and your way this morning. Forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I have failed you, Lord. And use me today to help your people. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, the Lord allowed us to take a close look at verse number 12. And under his guidance, I'd like to look at the subsequent verses this morning. So if I can give you a little bit of background, I know not everybody in the building this morning has been studying with us in the book of John. So if I can give you just a little bit of background, Jesus has just pardoned the adulterous woman, or rather the woman caught in the act of adultery. I said this a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to say it again. I've always wondered where the rascal was that was with her. Amen. And why in the world he wasn't brought before this great court, you know, why he was the one that was sort of given a pass on that, I don't understand that. But Jesus had just pardoned this woman. And we read immediately after this pardon, his proclamation of being the light of the world. And what a great light he must have been there that day to that dear woman who had been publicly shamed and embarrassed in front of all those people. I mean, could you imagine if someone had participated in that act and they grabbed them, a group of men grabbed her and brought her in here and threw someone in front of the church. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I hope that some of you men would be man enough to stand up and protect that woman from the wolves that would bring her in. I would hope that there would be some people that would be compassionate enough that even though someone was involved in a sin or involved in something like that, rather than passing immediate judgment and going along with that crowd that day, they would just go ahead and love them in the condition that they were in the place that they were at. So Jesus had just pardoned her, and this great light had shone in her life. But what a great spiritual light Jesus was to those who sat and listened to him as that took place in front of them, and as they went about their day, and as they happened to have something happen as they watched it unfold and as they heard him say those words. What a great awakening, I guess you could say, to those people that were in the room with him there that day. I couldn't help but think about in Luke chapter number 2, verses 30 through 32, the Bible says this, there's a man named Simeon here, and Simeon is right after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon is in the temple, and Mary and Joseph. Y'all ever heard a preacher make a mistake like that before? Nope. Mary and Joseph bring the babe Christ into the temple, and it's around the eighth day, and they're going to do all the customs that they're about to do. And this man named Simeon, who had prayed and asked God to let him see the salvation of the Lord, walks into the temple where they're at, and he grabs the baby up and he begins to praise the Lord. And here's some of the words that he says: "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And then he says this, a light, speaking about the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a little 8-day-old baby, he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. What a great light that Jesus was. What a great light he's been to me, to you, and to the whole world. He spake that he is the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Some years ago, Luke and I went coon hunting up off of Brushy Mountain. I believe that's where we were. But we were out late at night, and a friend of mine had taken us, and so I didn't have any hunting gear for that kind of hunting, and he had these little hats that had lights on the front of them, and a battery pack that you wore on your waist. And man, I felt like a miner, you know. I was ready to go to West Virginia and go do some mining. But I remember having that spotlight, and I had let that light go, and we'd been out there for several hours, and Luke, I don't know, he was maybe seven, eight years old, something like that. But he looked up at me, he looked at my friend's light, and his light was bright and shining, and my battery was going dead, so my light was getting dim. And he looked at me and he said, "Daddy, your light is getting a little dim." And then a little while went by, and my light went out. And he said, "Dad, your light has went out." And that man that was there with us that took a coon hunt, he came and preached for me that following Sunday morning. He told that story, and he said, "Dads, don't ever let your light go out. The light's not about you, it's about Christ." And what a great light that he can be to you and in our lives. And what a great light that he has been to me. We can liken that to running, amen, early in the morning. Some of us got to have them lights, some of us got flashing lights. Y'all wouldn't believe we look like a traffic light running down the road sometimes, amen. But hey, you let some of them cars drive past you at 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll want some lights on too. Let me leave that alone. Jesus was the light. And he proclaimed it in verse number 12, and we talked about that extensively a couple of weeks ago. You can go check that out on YouTube if you would like to. But in verse number 13, the story changes. And what I mean by that is we're not taken away from the story of Jesus being the light of the world. Rather, it starts looking at it from the Pharisees' point of view. And in verse number 13, we read these words, and that's really where I'd like to begin today. All that other stuff was the fluff and the introduction. There you go. But in verse number 13, the Bible says, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true." They were essentially calling the Lord Jesus Christ a liar. There's an old saying that says, "There are none so blind as those who will not see." The Pharisees refused to see Jesus as the light of the world. They chose to willfully reject his statement by calling him a liar. Now, if there's one thing that I would like to think that I would never do, would be to call the Lord God a liar. And here he makes this statement about being the light, and they say, "Hey, you're talking about yourself, and what you're saying about yourself just simply is not true." Now, Jesus is to the spiritual world what the sun is to the physical world. He is the source of light. And so the Pharisees here are making the claim that Jesus was not being truthful, that Jesus was not being honest, but the reality of the light of Jesus shining out did not need their approval. See, the reality of light is that it shines. Nobody came in here in this room this morning and said, wow, I don't really know if the lights are on or not because they're shining, but yet I don't know if they're really on. No, we know the lights are on because we look around us and we see light. That's what was going on in front of these men, the Pharisees that were here this day. They were looking at the light, yet they were willfully in darkness because they refused to believe that He, Jesus, was the light of the world. They would rather believe that their laws or their rules or their ideas were the light of the world rather than it being the Lord Jesus Christ. It's self-evident, light is, in its nature. Light is a witness of itself, and it doesn't need anyone to witness for them. So just because the Pharisees said here that your witness is not true did not mean that His witness was not true. Jesus just kept right on shining. It didn't really matter what they thought. Their statement was incorrect. Jesus' record of who and what He is absolutely true. He didn't need them. You Christians, you have the light indwelling inside of you, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't need the compliments of others as to whether or not your light is true. You've been given this light from the Lord who deeply loves you and deeply cares about you. Now, I do believe that we could stifle the light. I do believe that we could allow our globe to get dirty. I remember when I was growing up, my grandparents, they had some, Mama and Papa is what I call them, they had some old lamps in their house, and ever so often she would burn those old lamps, and I remember when she would turn the flame up just a little too high, then the top of the lamp would get just black with soot, and you couldn't see the light real good, and so she would have to dial the light back, and she would pull the globe up off of the lamp, and she would reach her hand up inside there, and she would wipe all of that soot out of the inside, and then she would stick that lamp globe back on top of there. Man, that little old light would be just as bright, and it would light the room so good, and everyone could see that light. Christian, you and I, in serving the Lord, a lot of times we allow our globe, if you will, to get a little dirty, and we have to go to the Word of God and get that thing cleaned out. But regardless of whether we believe it or not, or whether someone else believes it or not, we have the light indwelling inside of us, and this light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, that brings me to verse number 14. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. In patience, Jesus begins to reason with them. You ever had somebody disagree with you? This is a lost art in the United States of America today, disagreeing with somebody. There was a time where you could disagree with somebody and you didn't have to get red-faced and pitch a fit about it. Y'all all right? We could disagree. We could have a volley of conversation and we could talk. And even though someone disagreed, even if it was vehemently with them, they could still say, hey, you know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. We'll go one way, I'll go the other. People could agree to disagree. So in love, Jesus allows them to disagree. Now, He had every right and every ability to call down a lightning rod and zap them real good, but He didn't. That's what's happening. Can I preach on that just a little bit? In our country today, we've become so polarized that we forget that men, women, boys, and girls' souls are at stake. We're so worried about getting our agenda across to someone that we forget that they're a person for whom Christ died. That we forget that there's somebody that needs the light. They don't need the darkness, they need the light. We forget that there's someone that needs the love of the Lord rather than our opinionated. Brother, you said that about your, I'm not opinionated. Maybe not in the pulpit, but you ask Tara, she'll tell you something different. We have come to a place where we we think that our opinions are the gospel. Jesus understood here in knowing that if he gave these men judgment, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment, that they wouldn't survive. Matter of fact, I did not read it, but he told them in verse number 21, I go my way and you shall seek me and you shall not find, you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. That's after they had willingly rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you and I, we have the opportunity, as Jesus did in front of him, to tell them about himself. And so he goes to giving his testimony to them. He said, yet my record is true. Jesus didn't need their approval for his statement to be true. His character was the only credential that he needed. He said, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. See, he contrasts his eternal knowledge with their finite knowledge. I think we forget this sometimes, but Jesus was not like one of us, and he was not one of us. He stepped out of eternity into time, and he operated those 33 years, whatever, how many ever years it was, he operated during that time and he impacted the whole world in that time, so much so that here we are on a Sunday morning in 2024 and there's still some guy in a pink shirt and a blue coat screaming about him. And so we have this great Savior, the light of the world, who stepped out of eternity and into time. And in a little while in this story, or in a little while in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will step out of time and go back into eternity. And that's where he is now. And so he contrasts how that they viewed things and how that they did things versus how he viewed things and how he did things and the things that he knew that they did not know. And he's trying so desperately to show them what they do not know in verse number 14. There are truths about God that only he can affirm. And the Pharisees were ignorant to this knowledge of God. They didn't want to retain them. They didn't want to see those things that Jesus had done. So let's look at verses 15 and 16. We're moving right along, ain't we? Some of y'all saying he's been a little short today. What time is it? Man, it's 12:05. Look, I promise you the Mexican restaurants are not going to run out of tacos. Buffets ain't going to shut down just because y'all don't get there. Amen? They'll be all right. Verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So the first part of that verse, he says, you judge after the flesh. It was impossible for these Pharisees to make a right judgment about Jesus because they simply didn't have all the facts. See, the job of a judge is to listen to all the facts and then make their ruling. And Jesus, while he could have done that, he did not. He didn't pass judgment on them. See, their opinions were based on their carnality, but Jesus, as he had told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and no matter how spiritual that the Pharisees tried to vaunt themselves that day, no matter how appropriate they tried to make themselves look, no matter how nice they tried to make themselves and dress and present themselves, no matter what they did, they could not match Jesus' spirituality because of their own carnality. He was in perfect harmony with God the Father. And God the Father had sent him into the world. And as he sat with them, he withheld his judgment on them and did not condemn them. I am glad that Jesus has not condemned me. I'm glad that he has extended grace and love and mercy to me. I'm glad that he's given me eternal life. I'm glad that he's not decided, because he knows, see, I don't know everything about him, but he knows everything about me. I don't know everything about Jesus, and I'm still learning, very much so, but he knows everything, David, everything about me. If we were to take my faults and project them onto a big screen up here behind me, most of you would probably run out of the room. If we were to take my sins and label them up here and say, Brother Josh is guilty of this, 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 and this, you'd say, oh man, I don't know if I want to follow that pastor any longer. But I thank God that Jesus, who knows everything about me, all of my shortcomings, all of my sins, all of my failures, all of my discrepancies, all of my inconsistencies, does not bring them out and say, hey, I just want to expose you and leave you hanging out there. No, He gently pleads with me and reasons with me, as He was doing with these Pharisees here. Their judgments were superficial because they could only base it off of what they could see. Jesus goes on to further say, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Jesus wasn't sitting in judgment of them. He could have. He had all the facts. He was comparing their spirit with His. They were in carnality. He was not. He was in perfect harmony with God the Father. He was not here to condemn them. He was here to save them. He came to give them love and not the law. And I look at my life and I think about who I am and what I am. And then I go and I deal with someone out in the world and I think about them. I don't know them. And so it's not up to me to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, although I may get an opportunity to tell them, but I've learned something. I've caught a lot more flies with honey than I have with vinegar. I know that the people that I've been kind to and that I've talked to and I've been cordial with have been much more open to listening to me. I would like to think that the majority of the people sitting in this section are here because I haven't been a jerk at 4:45 in the morning. Miss Cherry gave me an amen. When we deal with people, we must remember you may know something about them, but your knowledge is simple. It's carnal. It's only face value at the best. You and I have no business passing a judgment or slinging judgment on somebody else when we don't know them. But I can be kind. I can love them. And I'm seeing Jesus do. These men hated Him. They despised Him. They rejected Him as who He was. And yet Jesus didn't stand up and grab a lightning rod and zap them and kill them and wipe them off the face of the earth. I believe some people have that idea of God, that if I do something wrong, God's going to zap me and get me and knock me off the face of the earth. That's not the God of the Bible, and it's not the God I serve. My God is compassionate over and over again. My God is loving over and over again. My God is considerate over and over again. My God gives grace over and over again. Every morning His mercies are new. I get to wake up to this great God who could have judged me, but did not. Verses 17 through 19, we'll be done here in just a few moments. Jesus says to them, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto Him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. So because of human failings, the law required a minimum of two men to agree as witnesses. Three was preferred. And here's the law that Jesus was referencing. The book of Deuteronomy. See, thank God for the Bible, because the Bible is the greatest commentary on the Bible. And when Jesus talks about the law, he references where he's talking about. And so with a little bit of careful study, we can find where Jesus is talking about. I mean, after all, he is the Word of God. He's the light of the Lord. And so he's speaking of himself. Deuteronomy 19:15 is where that law is found. The Bible says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." A single witness might not have fully observed the incident, or it might have been that spite or hatred or malice or jealousy or revenge might have made them have prejudice as to something that would influence their judgment. And so he even might make an honest mistake in what he thought he saw. It's very possible. And so having another witness would make it less likely that a false witness would happen. In the trial of the Lord before the Sanhedrin in Matthew 26, the authorities had to sift through testimony after testimony of many false witnesses that claimed that they had some special knowledge about Jesus, and it took them a while to find two that had some small agreement that they could make a case on. That's recorded in Matthew 26. You can read it for yourself. But as they had this mockery of a trial for the Lord Jesus Christ right before his crucifixion, just a couple of days before he was crucified, they had this trial and they looked for witnesses and they couldn't agree and they couldn't get Jesus to talk. And when they finally were able to get something, it was very little at least. And yet they proceeded to crucify him. If the testimony of two men establishes a fair witness, then the testimony of God the Father and God the Son establishes a testimony that is beyond question or reproach. And that was the Lord's point that he was making to them. Then said they unto him, verse number 19, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." The Pharisees, they reject God the Father as Jesus' second witness. And that him being the witness was completely unacceptable to them. They asked him, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered, you don't know me or my Father. If you'd have known us, then you would have knew who I am." But just because you don't know a person is not proof that they don't exist. I do not know many people. That doesn't mean that there are not people that exist. You and I may be talking about someone, they may be a friend of yours, and you can say, "Don't you know, oh, so-and-so? I had a cousin, he's in heaven now, but he'd be talking to you, and he'd say, you remember old," and he'd call a name out. I don't know. He'd just call a name. You remember old Kevin? No, man, I don't. Yeah, you do, you know who he is. Some of y'all thinking, I know somebody like that right now. Remember, he had that bald spot back there. You remember? you know him, and we try and find some way, some connection there. But just because I don't know them doesn't mean that they don't exist, and I can't say, no, I don't know them, so therefore they're not a real person. You must be making this person up. That's what the Jews were doing to Jesus. Well, who is your Father? Who is this? Can you imagine the Lord God of all eternity came in the robe of flesh and was here and dwelt among us, according to John chapter number 1, and instead of realizing who he was and accepting him, they said, I don't believe you. I don't think you're telling the truth. You're a liar. And yet Jesus was still compassionate, still loving, and still reasoning with them. If the Jews had known Jesus, they would have known his Father too. because he was always talking to him or about him, and they could have known him. I think one of the saddest things that happen in our world today, happens in our world today, is that Christians go out every single day and we don't talk about God our Father. We don't pray God our Father. We don't communicate His love. We don't communicate His compassion. We don't communicate His grace to a lost and dying world. We want to be the hands and the feet when a natural disaster strikes. But we don't want to be the hands and the feet when we run across someone who is clearly against God and hates the Lord. We want to be the hands and the feet when it's convenient and we get glory for it. When somebody will see what we've done. And we're even so weird and selfish about it that we'll take a selfie of us doing a good deed. Hashtag delivered some food today. We'll snap a picture of something that we did. Saw this poor guy on the street. Thought I'd just go ahead and video me giving him $200. Got a GoFundMe going for him. You don't want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You want glory. You want somebody to pat you on the back. You want somebody to say, good job. You did good today. Serving the Lord is not about us having the warm and fuzzies. It's about reaching people that are in need of Jesus in this present time and in this present world. We need to be about our Father's business. Lord, I hope that the things that I've said you will bring together. While I've struggled and stammered and tripped over my own words, Lord, I pray that you would take something that was said and done and you would help your people through your word. Lord, I'm nothing without you. And I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. Lord, if there be someone here that does not know you, I pray that the seed was planted and they would see you as a loving and a good God, ready to pardon, ready to forgive, patient, willing to listen. God, I pray that they would see you as Lord for the first time. Lord, I pray that you would convict in their heart, show them their need of salvation, and help them. I pray that you would bless the invitation time. If there's anything that someone needs to talk over with the Lord, or that as they come today, they would get things right with you. Father, would you move? Have your will and your way. In Jesus' name. You stand with us this morning.